10,000 reasons to praise his name. My Bible reading this evening is taken from the book of Numbers, a time when the people of God should have had plenty of reasons to praise his name. We pick up the story. You'll know it well. Just as the Israelites are about to enter into Canaan, the Lord says to Moses, take one person from each of the 12 tribes and send them into the land as spies for 40 days. And let them report back on what they find. And this is where we pick it up in Numbers chapter 13. The 12 spies return. They came back to Moses and Aaron and the whole Israelite community at Kadesh in the desert of Paran. There they reported to them and to the whole assembly and showed them the fruit of the land. They gave Moses this account. We went into the land to which you sent us, and it does flow with milk and honey. Here is its fruit. But the people who live there are powerful, and their cities are fortified and very large. Then Caleb silenced the people before Moses and said, we should go up and take possession of the land because we can certainly do it. But the men who had gone up with him said, we can't attack those people. They're stronger than we are. And they're spread among the Israelites. A bad report about the land they'd explored. They said, the land we explored devours those living in it. All the people we saw there are of great size. And he carries on there into chapter 14. That night, all the people of the community raised their voices and wept aloud. All the Israelites grumbled against Moses and Aaron, and the whole assembly said to them, if only we died in Egypt or in this desert. Why is the Lord bringing us to this land only to let us fall by the sword? The Lord doesn't react well to this. And there, in verse 10, but the whole assembly talked about stoning the servants of the Lord. The glory of the Lord appeared at the tent of the meeting to all the Israelites. And the Lord said to Moses, how long will these people treat me with contempt? How long will they refuse to believe in me in spite of all the miraculous signs I have performed among them? Two boys were eating some grapes. One of them remarked, aren't these sweet? I guess so, the other replied, but they're full of seeds. Wandering into the garden, the first boy exclaimed, look at those beautiful big red roses. The other commented, they're full of thorns. It was a warm day, so they stopped at the corner shop for a drink, and after several gulps of lemonade, the second youngster complained, my bottle's half empty already. The first responded, mine's still half full. I don't know about you, but there are times I can identify with the negative little boy in the story. There are times in life when I look at life through dark glasses. I think all of us will encounter times when life is very dark indeed, and for very good reason. And yet there are times when we look through dark glasses when really that is not the case. And in such a crowd that can become contagious. And this is what happened exactly here in the book of Numbers with the children of Israel. Moses had sent spies to do a recce of the land 40 days later on their return. The report of the land was good. It was indeed a place that the Lord had promised. It was flowing with milk and honey. But hang on, the inhabitants weren't all that good. The natives of Canaan were strong. The spies were certainly fearful of what they'd seen. All except one, Caleb. He was a lone voice in the reporting group. The remainder of the 12 were all negative. And in the heat of the moment, as they shed their fears, it caused rebellion. The children of Israel started grumbling to each other. Forgetting everything that they knew about God, they began to moan. when they should have been praising God for his magnificent provision of the land of Canaan, could they see the roses? No. All they could see were the thorns. The end of their journey was being reached. 40 years they'd wandered. They were about to inherit the rich promises of God. After all that they'd been through, all that they'd overcome through God's power and provision. And yet here we find them on the brink of a new life, grumbling. This wasn't what they wanted. The negative thinking entered the camp again. After all, it wasn't the first time negative thinking had entered their camp. You'd thought they'd have learned by now. If you go into any booksellers in this day and age, you'll find a section in that booksellers entitled Self-Help. There's lots of books in there about self-help. Many of the titles concern the strength of positive thinking as opposed to negative thinking. I tell you, if water stones had been around in Moses' time, they'd have made a fortune because they could have flogged many positive thinking books. Thankfully, I do believe it's possible to see the roses on the rose tree and not the thorns. I do believe it's possible for us all, rather than thinking negatively, to think thankfully. I'm most grateful for the people in life who've learned to concentrate on the brighter side of life, who are radiant, who are happy, who are grateful. And you know, it doesn't mean they've put on rose-coloured spectacles. These people are often very realistic about the sombre side of life too. How have they done it? A few years ago, the St. Louis Post in USA printed a report of the weekend baseball game at the St. Cardinals ground. And in its report, it told of an incident that happened in the fourth innings. One of the umpires, Bill Guthrie, was the backstop umpire. It was his job to call whether a ball was a strike or whether it was a ball. And throughout the first three innings of this game, the visiting team's backstop challenged every call he made. If he called ball, the guy would say it was a strike. If he called strike, the guy would say it was a ball. Poor Bill endured it for three innings, and then in the fourth he was fed up of this. And when the backstop started to complain again, he said, "Son, do you know what? You've been a real big help to me calling balls and strikes, and I appreciate it. But I think I've got the hang of it now. So I'm going to ask you to go to the restroom and show them in there how to take a shower." And off he sent him from the field. You know, somebody in that game couldn't recognize who was calling the game. It wasn't the backstop's job to call the game. It was the umpire's. And I think that those people in life who've learned to concentrate on the brighter side of life have done it because they've learned to acknowledge who is calling the game. Who is calling the game? I don't believe God has specifically planned or preordained all that will happen to us in life. Nor do I believe that all things that happen to us are for a purpose. I think to say this kind of thing denies the existence of free will. But I do believe in a God who has made it very clear to us that he's with us all the time, that he wants to be involved in every part of our lives, and who wants to make available to us all the riches of his grace and all the heavenly resources that we require, no matter what the circumstances. And you know, when we acknowledge God is with us in our thoughts, in our decisions, in our actions, in our circumstances, it's at that point we're recognizing who's calling the game. And so tonight, I just wonder, who's calling the game in your life? Who's calling the game in your life? I believe that the people who've learned to concentrate on the brighter side of life have done it because they've learned to know who is calling the game. And instead of grumbling because they don't get what they want, they've learned to be thankful because they don't get what they deserve. instead of grumbling because they don't get what they want, they've learned to be thankful because they don't get what they deserve. And unlike the children of Israel in the desert in Numbers, they've discovered a God who loves them very much, and they're aware of his providential care in their lives, and they've placed a Caleb-like confidence in him. Martin Luther, the 16th century theologian, during a certain period of his life, experienced a long period of worry and despondency. And one day he came down to breakfast to find his wife wearing black mourning clothes. And as he took his seat at the dinner at the breakfast table, he said to her, "Who's died?" "God," said his wife. "God," said Luther, "how can you say such a thing?" She replied, I'm only saying what you're living. And Luther realized at that point he had indeed been living as if God was no longer alive and watching over them in love. And his outlook instead went from gloom to gratitude. You know, meeting with every situation with thanksgiving isn't a denial of trouble. It's not looking through rose-coloured spectacles. It's a way of helping us see things from God's perspective. And it's an opportunity for us to discover his grace, his power, and love at a time when we need it most. Why did I bring this to you this evening? I bring it to you very simply because in life, I tend more to think like the 11 other spies than I do like Caleb. And I can think much more negatively than I can positively. And tonight, I just want to encourage myself, as I want to encourage you in life. You can have one or two thoughts, can't you? You can have a negative thought, a negative spirit, just like the 11 who said, "It can't be done, I'm fearful of this, look at this, might be flowing with milk and honey, but look at them, scary." Or you could have the Caleb-like life that says, "We can do this." I'm very much in life aware that in my life I can adopt the attitude of the 11 rather than the spirit of Caleb. And tonight, as I go from this place, I'm challenging myself, and I challenge you. What kind of spirit will you have this week? The spirit of the 11 or the spirit of Caleb? You know, in our army, we're very privileged to have some great fighting songs, and our closing song tonight is one of the army's great fighting songs, song 960 in the songbook. 960. But you know, in that fourth verse it says, "Though our trials be great and God's enemies strong, to battle undaunted we go, for our warfare's the Lord's, and to him we belong. In his strength we shall conquer the foe." And actually it encourages us to leave here tonight with the spirit of Caleb rather than the spirit of the 11. What kind of spirit will you take into your week this week? May it be one that is positive. And may we go out on this musical weekend on a positive note rather than a negative one. We have every reason to thank our God for his greatness, to trust in his provision, and to believe that he is with us all the time. So as we go from this place into a new week, let's go with the spirit of Caleb. Let's go with that positive intention to do and be his disciples in our world. May the Lord bless thee and keep thee. May the Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give you his peace. God bless you this week. Amen.